Good evening. Well, this morning, the rage of the heathen. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? This evening, the very dangerous sin of anger in us or in anyone, and the grave danger that, or I would say the grave potential danger that comes from the sin of angry, the sin of being angry. So this evening, I guess the subject of the message will be, why are you wroth, or why are you angry? The first time we see this sinful anger in the Word of God is the anger of Cain, whose offering was rejected by the Lord. You remember that. Abel brought of his offering, God had respect unto Abel's offering, but unto Cain's offering, God had not respect. God did not accept it. I pray the Lord will teach us this evening from this sin. The Bible says Cain was very wroth. It means he was in a rage. He was furious. Let's read it, Genesis 4 and verses 1 to 8. It says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he brought also of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now it's interesting to note here that Cain was the first one that it is written brought his offering. Now I don't know whether they brought him simultaneously. I don't know whether this means anything, but Cain was the firstborn. So he brought of his offering to the Lord, and it seems to indicate that Abel he brought afterward, but nonetheless, just something in stream of consciousness. But verse 6 says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. It's as if God was telling him, you're still the firstborn. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him, killed him, murdered his own brother. Let's pray. Father, please help us. Father, as we learn about the sin of anger, and Father, I pray that you would teach us from your revealed will this night. Help us, Father, oh God, to mortify this sin. Help us to be able to recognize it even in ourselves and to kill it before it gives life, Father, to something worse. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So on the surface, it looks like the root cause of Cain's anger was the Lord's refusal of his offering, but I believe that was only the straw that broke the camel's back. The root of Cain's anger was his rebellion against God, which had been long before welled up in his heart. Cain rebelled against the revealed will of God in not bringing what God had commanded him to bring. How do we know that? Well, because Abel brought the right offering. And I believe that it implies and indicates that Adam taught his sons what would be an acceptable offering to bring to the Lord. Cain shows his self-will. Cain shows that he refused to submit to the authority of God. And so Cain brought what Cain wanted to bring, what he felt would be the right thing. You hear people saying that. Well, I feel that God wants fill in the blank. Doesn't matter what we feel like God will want. God wants what God wants. And so we are to bring what God prescribes. But then even after God rejected Cain's offering of what God commanded him to bring, God gave him every opportunity to correct and bring the right offering, to forsake his anger against the Lord, to repent of his sin, which he would not, which regrettably led him to murder his younger brother. And I want you to see the degradation of hatred and anger and what it potentially could descend to. Proverbs 19:3, just listen, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. And his heart fretteth against the Lord. That word fret means his heart rages or is enraged against the Lord. Proverbs 19:3. It was Cain's foolish and rebellious heart that perverted his way from the commandment of the Lord. When the Lord God revealed that to him, he was incensed. When the Lord revealed that to him and that he was wrong, he became enraged. He fell out in a fit of anger. Very often when we're instantly angry, it's just the tip of the iceberg. The foundation has already been set. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, the Bible teaches us that anger rests in the bosom of fools. It simmers there. It just waits. It's like a time bomb, and it just takes one little event, one word, one thing to set it off, and that anger will explode. And that's what happened to Cain. It led to the murder of his younger brother. Let's go fast forward to the Sermon on the Mount, 5:21 of Matthew. 5:21 of Matthew. Let's dig a little deeper into this anger. In the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, 6 times in Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said." And then he follows up those words every time with, "But I say unto you." So he says here in verse 21, "You have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." So kill, murder. He says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." So the 6th commandment the Lord is teaching here, we know the 6th commandment is thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill literally means thou shalt do no murder. That's what it means. It means to unlawfully kill another person, to commit premeditated murder. Cain's murder of Abel was premeditated. It was, the seed of it was found in his anger towards God and so toward his brother. Listen, if the world hates you, Christian, for being a gospel witness, for being a Christian, it's not so much that they hate you, they hate the Christ in you. So they hate who you identify with. But here, to kill means to kill another person or to murder them, to commit premeditated murder, deliberately, intentionally, and maliciously. "You," saith the Lord Jesus, as he teaches here in the Sermon on the Mount, "are only considering," he tells the scribes and Pharisees, "you're only considering the act of murder. And yes, if you commit murder, you're in danger of the judgment." Everyone knew this then, and everyone knows this now. In fact, when you tell sinners that they've sinned against God, sometimes you'll hear things like, "Well, yeah, but I've never killed anyone. I've never committed murder. I've never done those things." And so when Jesus, remember, Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said." So the manner of the religious leaders of that time was, just don't kill, and you're okay with the 6th commandment. Jesus says, no, it goes far deeper than that. And Jesus goes down to the heart of this commandment. See, this is the righteousness that the scribes and Pharisees stood upon and taught. It was their own righteousness. We haven't murdered anyone. And this is how they excused themselves for their hatred of Christ. They didn't actually commit the act of murder. And this is how so many think today regarding their standing before God. I didn't actually do it. You'll hear people say, well, I think about it all day long, but I didn't do it. Christ says, oh, you have done it. But what does the Lord see in our hearts regarding this commandment? And what does unbridled and sinful anger lead to? So Jesus now expounded to them the true and spiritual intent of the sixth commandment. So he said, you've heard that it had been said, and this is what your religious leaders have taught you. But he says, and I say unto you, beloved, we should be on a much smaller scale, and we are on a much smaller scale than the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is how we ought to teach in the world. Because people, they'll say, well, yeah, the Bible says, and you need to be able to say, yeah, but let me tell you what the Bible really teaches. Yeah. We need to be able to teach like this. So the Lord's giving us an example. He says, I say unto you. Now, in the Lord speaking, by him saying, but I say unto you, in regard to the sixth commandment, he's telling them, I have the authority to explain the intent of this command because I'm the one that gave it. I'm the one that gave it on Mount Sinai. I gave it to Moses for the people of Israel. I am the lawgiver. So I say unto you, you think you're in a right standing with God because you have not actually committed the act of murder? But if you're angry with someone without a cause, which means if your anger is motivated by hatred and malice towards someone, if your anger in God's eyes is like that, if you have something in your heart towards someone and you think about this person, you don't even have to be in the presence of that person. You're committing and breaking the sixth commandment, Jesus said. It's the same with the act of murder. So it doesn't matter that you've never actually committed the sin. You are committing the sin. Now, there is an anger and a hatred that is not sinful. Of course, we know in the scriptures in Ephesians, the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. We know that the Bible teaches of a righteous indignation. We know that Jesus himself demonstrated anger. You can see it in Matthew 23, and there's a few other passages. God speaks of it in his word. It's a righteous indignation. It's a hatred against sin, against sinners. But that's not what Jesus is teaching here. And so there's no time to deal with that, so we'll deal with this sinful anger. So consider the murderer's heart before they actually committed the act of murder. Before the murderer actually kills with their hands, they kill with their hearts. In their minds, they are full of anger, rage, and malice. They're full of hatred against their victim. This is what led Cain to kill Abel. He was so incensed and angry with God, and since Abel identified with God, and since God was pleased with Abel, Abel was the recipient of Cain's hatred. If you're angry with someone like this, you are committing the act of murder, having never laid a hand on them. And in so doing, you are in danger of eternal damnation. God sees rash anger and hatred to be no different than murder, and that's what it explains here. Look at 1 John. You know this passage, 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Let's see. Verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he, that is Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. It's so important to take these words in and hear what John's saying. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You can put that, let no man deceive you, before verse 8 too. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. It literally means they do not practice sin. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Only two types of children in the world, brethren. Children of God and children of the devil. Christians are not haters. Christians do not allow anger to rest in their bosoms. Yes, we struggle with it. Yes, we struggle with anger. There's not a one of us that have not struggled with the sin of anger. There's not one of us that have not committed the sin of anger. But beloved, we must not let it rest there. We must not let it stay there. Because if it does, it changes who we are. Beloved, we need to kill it. We'll see that at the end. Don't let anger rest in your bosom. Children of the devil do. Let it rest there. And he goes on to give the example. He says, the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. What's the contrast? Or what's another way of saying you don't love your brother? You hate him. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. So Cain shows forth the character of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore, why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. It's a sin against God. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And back to what I said earlier, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And so a brother or sister in Christ, a Christian, will not allow anger and hatred to rest and simmer in their bosom. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. There it is, plain and simple. I mean, very clear English. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Listen, you could be sitting still with a straight face doing nothing all the while. If you, in your heart you're full of anger and hatred towards someone else, in God's eyes it's just like killing them. In God's eyes it's just not killing them. Man, kill that thing. Beloved, if you find yourself there, run to your prayer closet and fall on your face before God and repent of it. Repent of that sin. Remember again, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That should not be our spirit, brethren. We should not be like that. That should not be our character. Back to Matthew, the Lord takes it a step further. You know, we live in dangerous times. We said that this morning. Never do I remember, and maybe I wasn't conscious of it, but maybe it's because there's so much information out there. There's social media. There's so much information out there. And I can't remember a time, and I'm sure there have been other times like this, when the words of those who have the stage have incensed and infuriated so many who hear their words. The leaders of our nation, we see them fighting. We see hatred. We see anger. Citizens, we see citizens fighting with leaders. We see hatred. We see lies that are told. It's all the work of the wicked one, brethren. There's words out there that are inflaming and enraging people. And a little further, Christ takes it that step further in verse 22. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Think about the times when your sinful and rash anger has caused you to lash out in words towards someone. Think about the terrible thoughts that rose in your heart toward that person at that very moment. And then think about the terrible words and insults that come out of your mouth. Raka, thou fool. Think of the things that we've said to people at certain times. We talked about this the other day. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. You can get punched in the face and forget about it. The words of someone, demoralizing words, words of hatred and anger toward you, it's hard to forget. Words do hurt. This happens when venomous poison from our heart comes out of our mouths, and slanders and insults, name calling, and this is akin to committing murder with your tongue. Beloved, this is a dangerous sin. We need to mortify it. Look at James 3. James chapter 3. And I think the Lord directed me here. We see the rage that goes on among our kings, our rulers, our politicians. I mean, you could see it out there. It's prevalent. And we need to be so careful that we don't get caught up in that. We need to be so careful that we're not sucked into that dark chasm of wicked words, and that we adopt those philosophies and we start thinking the same way that they are thinking. The world should never look at us and say, look at those angry Christians. But there are some Christians out there that seem so angry at the world. Beloved, do you ever see Christ get angry at the world in his days of his ministry? You don't. James 3:6, look at it. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, us, the ones who can't tame our tongues. But the tongue that is of man can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Beloved, let this not be us in our lives. When anger descends into words, it's a terrible thing. Look at Matthew 15 and verse 19. Matthew 15, 19. Why do the heathen rage? Let it not be why do the Christians rage. Beloved, let it not be that for us. Verse 19 of Matthew 15, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And the second one, out of the heart proceed murders. It's in the heart first. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Mortify them, brethren. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. These are the things that defile us, beloved. Let them not be once named among us as become us saints. Matthew also in 12, he says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. But you say they're only words. And listen, that's how the world thinks, but it's more than that. Listen to me. We are in troublous times. There are terribly wicked and sinful things happening in our society. We hear it at the highest levels of leadership in the government of our nation. We hear it in the words of rage and anger and hatred and we hear those words coming from our elected leaders, those who we should be looking to guide our nation. Social media has become a platform for many to spew out their anger and hate toward any who disagree with their worldview. You want to know how powerful words are on social media? I teach a suicide prevention class, and there are actual testimonies of someone bullying another person on social media with angry, mean, hateful words to the point where that person actually committed suicide. And think words aren't powerful? So social media is a place where angry, venomous words are published instantly. They are very often presented in such a way that angers even us. That's why I would tell you, be careful what you read. Be careful what you eat of what the world is dishing out. Beloved of God, be so careful of being sucked into this dark chasm of sin. You don't want to become a hater of the government, a hater of certain groups of people, a hater of society, a hater of politicians. Do we ever see Jesus spewing out hatred towards Caesar? The Caesars ruled the civilized world of his day. Do you ever see him spewing out hatred? The only ones you ever see Jesus ever being angry toward and rebuking them were the religious scribes and Pharisees. And what he told them was a righteous rebuke of righteous indignation. And if they would have listened to it, perhaps they'd have turned from their wicked ways. And so we never see Jesus being a hater of Caesar, a hater of people in the world, a hater of sinners. Listen, God saved us, beloved, and called us to emulate his example of being friends of sinners and loving them. The worst thing that we could ever show forth to the lost and dying world is that we're angry and mean and hateful people. Oh, yeah, he's a Christian. Yeah, good brother. Don't set him off, though. Something's wrong with that. So there's much more to the sixth commandment than what's on the surface. Remember, every act of murder first originated in an angry and hateful heart, as we see Cain. There are many in the world who are angry and full of hatred in their hearts toward other persons. These I would call thought killers, word killers, who never spent a day in an earthly prison. But unless they turn from their sin, they will be eternally damned. Oh, beloved, let not this sin be named among us at all. Forsake it, put it off. At the first sight of it, kill it. Let me just close with two passages, Titus in chapter 3, and then we'll go to Colossians and we'll be done. Titus 3. Paul writes to Titus. He tells him, put them in mind, verse 1, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. And you just stop right there. If you speak evil of someone, it didn't just originate in your mouth. It was here first, evil thoughts. So here, speak evil of no man. Be no brawlers. If you're a brawler, guess what? It started in here. But be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's what we were. Beloved, that's not what we should never be that. And then Colossians 3 and verse 5. Mortify, verse 5, literally means to kill. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake, for doing these things, for being practicers of these things, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. So there's three references to that being what you were. But now, Christian, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, words out of your mouth. So you see what he says there? Beloved, let us put those things off. And listen, it all starts with the condition of our hearts. It all starts with the condition of our hearts. Slip down to verse 12, beloved. Kill sin out of your life and put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God govern. Rule means let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. I've heard people say in their anger, I will never forgive that person. You ever heard that? I will never forgive them. And that's rooted in anger and hatred for that person. Jesus says, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither doth your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And so, beloved, listen, this is easy to understand, and this is deep, fertile, spiritual ground. This is where we need to be, brethren. This is where we need to be walking with God. We need to be able to recognize when the world is influencing our minds, when we're taking in too much of its philosophy, of its culture, when we start thinking and talking like the world does. Beloved, we must not speak in the language of the kingdoms of this world. We must speak in the language of the kingdom of Christ. That must be how we speak. Don't speak like the world. If you speak like the world, it might be because you're in the world and of the world. No, beloved, we need to speak like citizens of a greater kingdom and the kingdom of Christ in heaven. That's who we need to be. We all need help and grace in this thing. The most powerful witness that you give in the world is not the words you speak, it's the life you live. But if the life you live doesn't match the words you speak, you could be a bold street preacher preaching Christ, but if your testimony is not that of living Christ, your words will stink to those that hear. And so I pray that the Lord would help us with this. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings. We pray that you would help us to mortify anger. Lord, let it not rest in our bosoms. We pray for help, O God. I pray that we would never do despite to the name of Christ, that we would never misrepresent you or, Father, live lives that are not becoming of being children of God. Help us, O Lord. Help us to not sin against you in anger or in any other sin, Father. Help us, Heavenly Father, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.